All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. We've got a week 14 edition of the show. We've got a big game edition of the show coming at you today as the Bucks are set to come home. They will take on the Buffalo Bills at 4:25 p.m. on Sunday afternoon slash evening, national television. It's going to be a lot of fun. An opponent that doesn't come here very often. In fact, it's only the 12th time ever these two teams will have met, the 10th time in Tampa. A big fan base. Both sides are excited. National TV, great weather. It's got all the ingredients. I'm really excited about this weekend, so I'm really excited to do the show today, too. Thank you for joining us. And we've got a lot planned because we've got a 9-3 Buccaneer team. And, you know, we're so used to the success, even though it happened in such a short amount of time, that I think we forget, you know, just what the Bucs have done in the past 20 games. And it was on the Joe Bucs fan website. Of course, the Joes always keeping track of these things, and they pointed it out. This is 20 games now since the beginning of the winning streak last season after the bye week and after the Chiefs loss, when the Bucs went on their run and didn't lose again and went all the way to the Super Bowl and won it. And now they're 9-3 this year. They're 17-3 in their past 20 games. Best 20-game stretch in Buccaneer history. The 2002 Bucs had a 16-3 run, maybe, if you combine a couple seasons, the ones that won the Super Bowl the first time. But 17-3 in the last 20 games, 9-3 this year. It's only the fourth time the Bucs have ever had a 9-3 start. And yet nobody bats an eye. We're just like, yeah, okay, the Bucs beat the Falcons, whatever. They're supposed to beat the Falcons. But what's going on right now is we're getting to that point where we just assume the Bucs are going to win every week. And you can't assume that. Nobody's doing that this week. This is a good Buffalo team, despite having had a rough go of it lately. They lost on Monday night to the Patriots at home in some wild weather. So the Bucs are on a bit of a rest advantage here, having the extra day, and they don't have very many games where that's the case this year. But this is one of them. Bills have lost 4 of their last 7, and they've fallen into wild card position after the Patriots have overtaken them in the AFC East. But all of those things are still on the table, and the same for the Bucs. Maybe not necessarily the NFC South, and we're going to talk about that scenario coming up on the show today. But even beyond that, you've got the consideration for the possible bye week, of which there's only one first-round playoff bye now with the NFL playoff format. And even if you don't get that, which teams are you going to be ahead of or behind, even if you do win the South, looking ahead to potentially the divisional round and beyond. So we've got all those things on the table today. We'll talk about it all. I want to thank, as always, the Joes for giving me the platform, allowing me to be on here in front of you guys. I want to thank our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, where if you're looking for a brand new or used or pre-owned car, truck, or van, you are always going to be in a good situation to start out by going to the website, BillCurryFord.com, and they spell it C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com, and checking out everything they've got there. Because like I said, brand new, pre-owned, used, whatever, all types of different vehicles. You can see it all, the completely transparent, no haggle online pricing is right there. And then I recommend you go down to the actual spot a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. That's where Bill Curry Ford has been serving the Tampa Bay area for 60 years now. And you can see everything on the lot, indoor, outdoor, the showroom, it's all there. And just remember, whatever you end up getting from Bill Curry Ford, you're covered by the unlimited nationwide lifetime warranty. You don't have to worry about engine trouble. You don't have to worry about a debilitating 3- or 4-figure repair bill because you're taken care of if you come back to the service center with the powertrain warranty. And that's on top of the roadside assistance you get for 10 years. That's on top of free service for the first year. It's all taken care of. And if you don't want to go leave your house, you don't have to because they'll bring you a car to test drive. They'll bring you a car to even just look at, and if you buy it, they'll bring it back to you then. So you can do it all from your home or office. And after you buy it, they'll come to your house to service it too and do the oil changes and stuff right in your driveway. It's amazing. They make you do absolutely nothing. So check them out, BillCurryFord.com. And thanks to them for backing the free stretch right here on JoeBucksFan.com. So let's talk about Sunday afternoon because, and you know, I'm not going to say much about the Falcons win. Great job by the Buccaneers. It was a TCB type thing, take care of business. And they did that. I know, a little shaky defensively in the first half, but the Bucs never made you feel like they weren't going to win the game. Huge day from Chris Godwin, who sets a franchise record for catches in a game. Defense buckled down the second half. Bucs won it going away, and if you were a Bucs backer at minus 11, you got rewarded with that late field goal to make it a 13-point win. So here we go today, and I think back to my youth like I always do when we get these games like this, because I used to love, and I still do, but the ones that felt a little bit bigger. And remember, when I grew up in the 80s and 90s, there weren't that many big games, you know? And this one's got the ingredients. The 4 o'clock kickoff's late in the year. This one's 4:25 p.m. Those always rang my bell a little bit more. I always loved the ones after daylight saving time, where the game kind of starts in that late afternoon. You know, the sun's setting. By halftime, it's dark. It would just, for whatever reason, I just have special memories of those games. They stand out more in my mind as a kid. And again, the Bucks didn't have very many of them. But this one will be on national TV. It's the featured game. Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, the whole group. The Bucks don't have the problem they used to have back in the day when the stadium would be completely overrun by fans of these northern teams that had a lot of transplants down here. But there's still going to be quite a lot of Bills fans. And I like Bills fans. I'm friends with a few of them. And they're generally just good fans that love their team. They're not obnoxious. I don't really hear Buffalo people bad-mouthing the Bay Area or anything like that. You know, maybe Buffalo's got kind of the same thing going that we do, where they're, you know, you look up in New York and it's all about the New York metro area, and Buffalo's kind of maybe a second thought. So they don't have the attitude that a lot of these other northern fans have. And I always appreciate, you know, lighting tables on fire and jumping through them. You may see some of that in the Raymond James Stadium parking lots during the day on Sunday in the lead-up to the game. I always appreciate Zubas, those like tiger stripe type pants from the 90s that you'll see Bills fans still sporting. So I think it's fun. I think it's going to be really good fun. And like I said, not a very common team that we play, as the Bucks have only played the Bills 11 times in the past. Bucks have the all-time series 7-4. As for Tom Brady, who will start at quarterback for the Bucks this week, by the way, he's 32-3 all-time against the Bills. And even one of those was like a Week 17 game some years back where the Patriots had already clinched everything, and I think Brady only played part of the first half. So really 32-2 all-time against the Bills, which is just amazing. Looking at the injury report right now, and the biggest question is Ryan Jensen, and I'm recording this on Friday morning, so he didn't participate in practice yesterday. He may today. He's got an ankle injury. I think what I'm hearing is that he's going to try and tough it out. By the time you listen to this show, his status may be more clear, depending on what he does at practice later on today. But again, I'm recording this on Friday morning. So we'll see what happens with him. Nick Leverett did a good job stepping in when they had Stinney go down after Marpet. Robert Hainsey could also fill in. There's a few options they have on the offensive line. So obviously you don't want to see Jensen out, or even if he is in, you don't want to see him hobbled. We'll just have to wait and see on that. Same thing with Jordan Whitehead, who was out with a calf injury before and still hadn't practiced this week so far. Looks like Jamel Dean is clearing concussion protocol, and he should be good to go. So nothing too extreme there on the injury front. Weather should be beautiful. It's supposed to be in the low 70s, maybe the upper 60s. Low 70s to start the game, and then dipping as it gets further into the evening. But it's going to be great either way. A little windy, 10 to 15 mile an hour winds and all that stuff. And this is a tough Buccaneer, or a tough Buffalo team the Bucs will face. And I know, like I said, they've lost 4 out of their past 7 games. And if you look at the ones they have won, they have a really good one over the Chiefs earlier in the season. But other than that, the Bills have kind of sort of feasted on lesser competition on their schedule. And there's nothing wrong with that in the NFL. That's what good teams do, is they get the wins they're supposed to. Of course, the loss in Jacksonville for Buffalo notwithstanding. But, you know, the Bills also, if you look a little closer at it, like I said, lost 4 of 7. They've played backup quarterbacks in 5 of the 12 games they've played so far, though, and they've gotten wins, except for, I think, one of those. But they're only 2-5 this season in games where the other team has their starting quarterback, like the Bucs will with Tom Brady. And nevertheless, you know, this is kind of going to be like one of those battles between two teams' strengths and which team relents, because the Bills do very well against the pass. That's their biggest strength on defense. And of course, the Bucs want to pass the ball. So will the Bucs impose their will and be able to pass it? Or will the Bills be able to stop that? And, you know, the Bucs, the teams that have beaten the Bills have had a lot of success on the ground. The Colts did that in a blowout win against them. The Titans did the same thing. And yet, you know, they both got out to early leads. So people always say, oh, if you run X amount of times against this team, it looks like you win. And we all know better, or at least if you've listened to this show, you know better than that tail wag the dog theory, because teams tend to start running it more after they get the lead. But this Buffalo team has only allowed 3 touchdown catches in 12 games to a wide receiver. And they've only allowed 8 touchdown passes total. The other 5 were to tight ends or running backs. That is 6 less than any other NFL team. So, by far, they lead the league in fewest passing touchdowns allowed. They're 3rd overall in third down defense. They're 4th in red zone defense. They've had 4 games where they've given up 10 points or fewer, including 2 shutouts. So, you know, this is a formidable opponent. And, you know, there's the whole wounded dog theory, which is kind of a cliche. I would have preferred, honestly, that Buffalo had won the game Monday night against the Patriots, but that didn't work out. I think that would have, and you say, oh, well, who cares about the other guy? We control ourselves and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's true, but I honestly think it would bode better for the Bucs had the Bills won on Monday, or had they, excuse me, they won on Monday night. Instead, they're coming off of a loss, and it's getting away from them a little bit in the AFC East. So, as for the Bucs in the NFC South, and this is something, again, that we just kind of already have moved on from and are already looking at Green Bay, we're already looking at Arizona, Dallas, and we're looking at those top seeds. But the Buccaneers still, despite their Super Bowl win last year, have not won the NFC South since 2007. That is 14 years. They have a chance technically to do it on Sunday. The Bucs would have to win. And actually, this goes for the rest of the season. I mean, it could be this Sunday or any other week, but to clinch the NFC South, the Bucs have to win one more of their games. And they got 5 left, okay? And then after that, the Panthers and the Saints have to lose or tie just one of their remaining 5 games. So, and they've already got the tiebreaker over the Falcons, have they beaten them twice, so the Bucs only have to win one more game to clinch over the Falcons. But a Bucs win in any of their final 5 games, and a Saints and Panthers loss or tie in any of their final 5 games, gives the Bucs the NFC South. What I'm telling you is, and what you already know, is the Bucs are going to win the NFC South. And that's a big deal. I mean, the Bucs, like, you know, they didn't go through all the phases of a franchise on the rise that usually goes from not being good. Remember the 90s, late 90s Bucs? Remember they weren't good forever? And then they had a winning season, made the playoffs. And that was, you know, first they did that. Then they got further. They got the NFC Championship but couldn't beat the Rams. Then they couldn't get over the Eagles hump. Finally broke through, won the NFC, and won the Super Bowl. This Bucs team skipped all those steps. They went from nowhere to winning the Super Bowl in 1 year, but one of the steps they skipped was winning the NFC South, and so that's a momentous thing. I mean, for a lot of people who've been watching the Bucs for a long time, you know, I remember that 2007 season. I remember the Bucs winning that division. I remember that playoff wild card loss to the Giants and Eli Manning, and I think it was Brandon Jacobs, and they, you know, all those guys, Plaxico. That whole team that came in, the Bucs dominated that first half in the wild card game, let it get away from them. Giants ended up going all the way to the Super Bowl, beating the undefeated Patriots. And that's the last time. It's been that long. So that's something that, if it doesn't happen this Sunday, is still likely going to happen in the next few weeks. And again, 9-3 through 12 games. And like, we're just like, oh yeah, cool, Bucs are 9-3. 1979, which is, you know, a season that is still one of the most memorable in Bucs history. 2002, of course, the Super Bowl year, and 2008. Those are the only other times the Bucs have ever been 9-3 through 12 games, ever, okay? And in 2 of those 3 seasons, 79 and 2008, they went on long losing streaks after being 9-3. In 79, they went from 9-3 to 9-6, lost 3 in a row until they finally won their last game in the rain against Kansas City and clinched a playoff berth at 10-6. In 2008, of course, you might remember, they were 9-3, lost 4 straight to close out the season at 9-7, missed the playoffs, John Gruden got fired. So this is not something that happens very often, and it's happened so fast, and not just with the Bucs, but with the Lightning too and the Rays, that it's kind of starting to become commonplace. And I'm always going to be here to remind you guys, as a longtime, lifetime Tampa sports fan for all of our teams, I will always be that voice that reminds you guys to take a step back, don't rush through any of this, and really try to enjoy what's going on, because it is not like this very often, and there will come a time, and I hope it's not too soon, but I don't care who you are, there will come a time when it's not like this again. And so don't just be like, eh, well, whatever, 9-3, we got bigger fish to fry. Yeah, we do have bigger fish to fry, of course. Everybody wants to win the Super Bowl and win championships all the time, but man, It's really cool just to be playing in games like this. It's really cool to be playing on Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football like they will next week against the Saints, or the National Game of the Week this week on CBS. Sold out crowds, all the fun that comes with it. And so try to enjoy every minute. Whenever the Bucks play the Bills, for whatever reason, it always brings back a good memory, because I remember, and this is going back to the 1988 season, there was this weird thing in the 80s and 90s where the Bills played the Bucks in Tampa like 7 times in a row, but the Bucks never went to Buffalo until like 2009, I think it was. But anyway, I remember this one time we were playing the Bills, and this is back when the Bucks were garbage, and I didn't care, you know, I was 8, I just loved going to Bucks games. And it was like Jim Kelly, you know, this is when the Bills were about to embark on their run of Super Bowls. I don't think they had made it yet, though. But they were about to go on their 4th straight Super Bowl run. And it was Jim Kelly and the whole crew. And they came down here to play the lowly Bucks. And the Bucks ended up winning the game 10-5. It's still the only 10-5 score in the history of the NFL. I think it was a scoregami, as they call it. But anyway, what I remember, and I was an 8-year-old kid. I was in 3rd grade. You know, it was all really vivid back then. I remember all those loud Buffalo fans and, you know, growing up and seeing that before with the Bears fans and the Packers fans, and in this case it was Buffalo. But it got really, like, you know, rowdy in the stadium, and not in a bad way. But after the game, I remember walking out of the Sombrero with my dad and my uncle, and my uncle just passed away a couple months ago, and I told the story, actually, at his service, because it really stood out in my mind from my childhood. My dad and my uncle were with me. I was a little 8-year-old, and my grandmother was, we all 4 of us went. And you remember the Karate Kid, that little, like, drum thing that you, like, swish back and forth in your hands, and it had the 2 little beads, and it would go boom, 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 boom. I don't know who remembers that. But this kid, this Bucks fan kid, who was older than me, he was like a teenager, but he had one. And the Bucks had won the game, and walking out there was this Bills fan, and the kid was, like, going up to this Bills fan and, like, doing the drum thing in his face over and over. And it was a kid, okay? It was, like, still... It was a teenager, but it wasn't like a college-age person. It was someone who was in either high school or maybe even middle school. And the Bills fan actually pushed the kid. Like, I remember this very vividly. He took his hand and just, boom, just gave him like a forearm, just shiver, and just pushed him out of the way. And the kid was being obnoxious. But then I remember distinctly my dad and my uncle. It was like one of those baseball brawls where something happens on the field and the dugout's clear. My dad and my uncle were not involved in this in any way, but they saw it from like 20, 30 yards away, and they both, they didn't have the best judgment when they were, you know, they were only in their 30s, I think, when this happened. And they both just made a beeline right at this guy. A couple other people did too. So this brawl ensued. This is right off of Glen Avenue, which is right off of Himes. There's like an electrical substation back there. For anybody who parks that back there, you know where it is, by the old mall. And there was, I mean, punches were being thrown. My dad came back. He was wearing some, like, jacket, like this white tracksuit jacket. And he had bloodstains on the sleeve of the jacket. And I was, like, again, 8 years old. I'm blown away. I remember standing on the roof of our car that we were walking back to. And I wanted to get a better view. And I was, like, yelling and cheering, like, yeah, man. I loved it. And my grandmother was freaking out. So, anyway, I'm not encouraging anybody to partake in that type of behavior this weekend at Raymond James, because the tailgating should be great, especially with the 4 o'clock kickoff or 4:25 kickoff. There should be people all over the lot starting early in the day. The Bills fans are going to want to get after it. And it should all be in good fun. I'm not encouraging any type of shenanigans or anything. But I can't lie to you guys. Like, that's a really good memory. And every time the Bucks play the Bills, especially in Tampa, that's what it reminds me of. So I hope there's some people out there, some 8-year-old kids this week that go to the game, and they make the same type of memories that I made, minus maybe their dads and uncles getting into actual bare-knuckle fights. You know, those do happen sometimes at football games, though. Email me if you want to, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. It's BobbyGameday @yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can get me at @BobbyGameday. If you're looking for tickets for the game on Sunday, they're going for quite a bit. I mean, right now it's like $200, $250 for the upper deck, which is something. I mean, this game was always going to be a big one because you've got, obviously, one, it's a good matchup, but two, you've got the, you know, other team. Whenever the other team's fan base is as into it as the Bucks fan base is, you know, it's not like going to see the Carolina game or something like that. So there, it's a big number. But, you know, you wait till Sunday, especially a little bit, you know, once you get past noon and closer to kickoff, you can probably get it down there if you're still thinking about going to the game. And you know, you've got the Saints game, this game, and then the Carolina game, the only three home games left in the regular season, although, of course, we are all anticipating a playoff game being played in Raymond James Stadium for the first time since January of 2008. Of course, the Super Bowl this past year, notwithstanding, but still a ways to go there. You know, the best thing the Bucs can do, obviously, is win their final five games. That's easier said than done, but it's hard to say what it would really take. I mean, the Cardinals have a big game on, is it Monday night? They play the Cardinals-Rams is Monday night. So at this point, even though the Rams beat us and have a head-to-head tiebreaker, I would think you'd want the Rams to win that game and then still have the Cardinals win the division. But if the Rams win that game and the Bucs win, then that would tie the Bucs and the Cardinals. Of course, you got Green Bay playing Chicago, which is not quite a gimme, but close to it, on Sunday night and things like that. As far as the tiebreakers go, for teams not in the same division, it's head-to-head first, which the Bucs have over the Cowboys, don't have over the Rams, and they don't play the Packers and the Cardinals. Then the next one is conference record, which right now, Green Bay has a one-game advantage over the Bucs in conference record. So if they were to finish tied and that didn't change, then Green Bay would get the tiebreaker. So that's one thing I will say about this game with the Bills. Not that you want to lose any games, but the NFC games are a little more important just for tiebreakers. If you're going to lose, this one wouldn't probably be as damaging as losing the ones with the Saints and the Panthers, and then they've got the Jets is also an AFC game. So there's just look-ahead type stuff. If conference record is the same, then it goes to record in common games, and I haven't bothered looking at that yet. We'll get closer to the end. We'll go over scenarios. But know this, the Bucs can win the NFC South with a win, and I don't think the Saints and Panthers are both going to lose their tie because the Saints are playing the Jets this weekend, but you never know. But either way, they can get one step closer, and yet looking at the overall NFL and NFC playoff seedings, there's still so much to be determined. It's too early to tell yet. But for now, don't worry about that. Worry about this weekend. Take care of business, what's in front of you, and have fun doing it. It's going to be a really fun weekend, and it's going to be a fun Sunday evening, I hope, that ends with the Buccaneers at 10-3. But either way, thanks to you guys for listening to the show this afternoon, this morning, this evening, whenever you're listening to it. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to the Joes for giving me the platform, the best place anywhere, TV, internet, radio for Bucs coverage, right here on JoeBucsFan.com. Enjoy the weekend. I know everybody's got a lot going on, the holidays coming up, and people have stuff to do, but don't forget priority number one, and that's football. All right, I'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, take care of yourselves, be safe, have fun, and wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.